Lord this evening. If you'll turn to page number 139, page 139, choir, if you'll stand with me, church, stand with me. Let's turn and sing At Calvary, page 139. Ceylon, would you pray for us tonight?
Thank you.
While the choir comes down, won't you stand with me one more time, and let's sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. Special for you tonight, and you be much in prayer for Miss Connie as she comes around. She's going to sing a song for us tonight, and we're looking forward to that. So you pray for her as she sings.
Saying, I'd like to read a poem with you, to you. Last year, you know, it was the first Christmas that we were without my brother, Bill, who died as a result of a motorcycle crash. And I found, I know you probably heard this poem, I had not, but I found a special card for my two brothers that I had left then and my sister. And lo and behold, an empty chair last year at the table. Two empty chairs this year, and I love our tree back there, and I put the empty chairs back there for Newt, Bill, and Larry's brother, Benny. He's lost one brother, too. But this is the card I found and gave to all my siblings last year and the rest of my family. Around the Christmas table, there's an empty chair this year, and yet our hearts are hopeful, though the season's bittersweet. Because we know the one we love has filled another seat. For another banquet table abounds with joy and love for those who've made the journey to be with our Lord above. This season may you celebrate the faith that is the heart of Christmas, the hope that lies ahead in heaven, and the love of those we hold in our arms and in our memories. Bill was a devoted husband, loving dad and granddad, and he was our cherished brother. And we missed him. Yesterday was our family gathering, and it was good, but it wasn't the same. And I know a lot of you can identify with that. We were a loving, very close family, and that was the promise that we made to our mother when she passed 13 years ago, that we would stay close. And we've done that. And we'll see him again. We'll be reunited in heaven. Bear with me. Thank you.
Miss Connie, you need to be up here more often. Some reason I was thinking while she was singing, as far as her voice, I've heard her sing before. Part of me was thinking Patsy Cline, maybe. Something like that. I tell you, there's it's all about the words, isn't it? It's all about the words. And I appreciate that song tonight. so many were touched that are here tonight from that song, and just goes to show you that God will use your brokenness. God will use those areas in your heart where you've been too often, that's been broke and hurt, and he'll turn around and use it to bless the church. So thank you, Miss Connie, for that tonight. But y'all pray for my voice. I'm not going to do no pouting tonight, for sure, but something a little different happened to me at lunchtime. It's kind of affecting me tonight, but I don't know. I've done a lot of coughing in the past 2 months, and I've just strained my voice. And I bit down at lunch today, and I felt something in here. I don't know. It's some kind of a strain or something like that. It felt something different I never felt before, but probably just a strained esophagus from all the coughing. But anyway... Yeah, maybe so, brother. Meanness. Could be. Who knows, right? But anyway, just remember that if you don't mind. Luke chapter number 3 tonight. Luke 3 is where we started this morning. And I was thinking as I was heading over to lunch that last Sunday message and this Sunday message, there's some points that kind of seems as they're the same, and I promise you they're not the same. There's some differences, but we're trying to just share as much as we can each Sunday, and so from time to time we overlap a little bit, but that's okay, because when you're mowing the grass and you're mowing your lines, you want to overlap just a little to make sure you've covered everything. But nonetheless, we're going to share some things tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you as it was to me as we studied it. But we started talking about this morning from the cradle to the cross, and we mentioned our first point. And our first point was from the time that Jesus was born up until his death, burial, and resurrection, there were some things that took place. And the three parts. This morning we talked about the preparation part. And of course this was from birth to the age of 30. And notice if you would in verse 23, we didn't even get to the text verse. But verse 23 of Luke 3, the Bible says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. This was when his public ministry started. So we wanted to mention that verse, because from birth till now, there wasn't a lot that took place. I mean, written in God's word that we have. But nonetheless, many things were happening. We talked about God's providence was active. There was the activity of God's providence back in Luke 2, verse 1 through 7. Don't turn there. But we see how God arranged everything to take place to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And we mentioned that, and how that God works in our life although it may seem like nothing's happening, it may seem like things are silent, nothing is going on that's spectacular, yet God has a way of arranging things for the future during those times. And so we mentioned the providence of God, and then we mentioned the progression of God, actually. And we talked about in Luke 2, verse number 40, we mentioned that Jesus, the babe, had grew to be the young child when the wise men visited. And then he was 12 years old, of course, down the road. And Luke chapter number 2, in verse 40, the Bible says, and the child grew. And the child grew. And that's what children do. They grow. And the Bible says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. If Jesus was going to complete the Father's plan, he was going to have to be strong in spirit. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man. And so he felt the weakness of flesh. And so it's different times during his course of life here on earth. And so he had to be strong in spirit. And he was going through a time when he was starting to get strong in spirit as a young man, as a young person, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we talked about how that he matured and how he grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This was his progression. And then we mentioned in verse number 49 how that God revealed to him his mission. And as we said, that the parents, Joseph and Mary, while they were on their journey, going in a certain direction, and a day later they looked for Jesus, and he was nowhere to be found. So he was in the temple, in the synagogue. He was speaking words of wisdom, and everybody was amazed. He says in verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So we know for sure that he knew at 12 that he's the Messiah, the young Messiah. And so we mentioned this morning all of those things, the preparation period, because we feel that God works in our life the very same way. He prepares us. He is providentially working in our life. Number two tonight, I want you to notice, listen along, and then we'll point out some things concerning the administration period or the serving period. The serving period would span from 30 years old to 33 years old. You say, well, that's just 3 years. Well, that was his public ministry, 3 years. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking, well, that wasn't a long time, but you know, God doesn't need a long time in a small amount of time to do a whole lot. The Lord Jesus can do a whole lot in our life in a very small amount of time if we continue to follow him and allow him to work. And so this is the administration part. And we read to you a moment ago, chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, verse 23. 30 years of age is when he was on the scene. Now, two things tonight that stand out to me during this time of his administration. And it has to do with the people that were involved in his life. And it has to do with the private intimacy he had with the Father. Two things during this administration period. Number one, the people that were involved in his life. What can we say about that? Well, two ways there were people involved in the life of Jesus during those 3 years, from 30 to 33. Number one, the first way that people were involved in his life had to do with those who loved him. Those who loved him. You say, what do you mean? Well, we know that John the Baptist loved Jesus. And we know that John the Baptist was used of God to introduce Jesus to the world. And we know that those verses are recorded. We won't turn there tonight for the sake of time, but in Matthew 3, verse 1 through 3, John the Baptist introduces Jesus to the world. He prepared the way, and so he loved him, and because he loved him, he prepared the way, John the Baptist did. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And tonight, no doubt, if we could say it this way and apply it this way, there have been people in your life, there's been people in my life who have helped prepare our way. Somewhere along the way has stepped in and helped push us along to maturity, have opened doors even to help us in our life. And tonight we're thankful for those who've helped prepare our way. Those have been a help to me. Those have been a help to my family to help get us to where we're at in life. And so we see that those who love you help you, and they help prepare your way. John the Baptist tonight, he was one who loved the Lord, and he was one who prepared his way. But what about someone else that loved Jesus, that was involved during his ministration? What about one of the Marys? You remember Mary with the alabaster box? And how that she loved the Lord with all of her heart, and she came to worship him, and she brought along one of the most expensive, or the most expensive thing that she had, was the box of perfume, and she broke it and anointed the feet of Jesus with it. Or she broke the box, and we know that she anointed the feet with Jesus and her tears, and she wiped all of those things together. And we know that it was the fragrance of that perfume that filled the room. And we know that the perfume was an expensive thing. Yet she broke that box and used that perfume to anoint the feet of Jesus. And because of that, the perfume was smelled all through the room. And tonight we can look at that one person being many that love Jesus, that was involved during his administration, that Mary, the thing that cost the most, she used for the Lord, and everyone was blessed. They all smelt the perfume. You and I tonight, when we give our all to Jesus and lay it all out there on the line, it does give off a fragrance. It is the fragrance of worship. It's the fragrance of surrender. It's Mary that surrendered the costly thing that she had, and because of that, the room was able to benefit from it, smelling that sweet perfume. And so we see tonight, in the life of Jesus during this administration part, there were those who loved him that were involved. But number two, not only we see that there were people involved during this period of time, but there were private times of intimacy with God during this time. You say, well, what do you mean specifically? We know Jesus taught a lot on prayer. In fact, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus taught his disciples when to pray. And Jesus taught his disciples where to pray. He taught them how, when, and where. Many times in the life of Jesus, from 30 to 33, you'll find scripture where he went, he separated himself apart. He went off into the mountains, went off into the wilderness to pray. I can remember earlier years in our ministry, one wise, former pastor, Ronnie Sanders, he's in heaven tonight. So hard to actually say that and to know that he's not here, he's there. He was so present in our life during our first church. Ronnie Sanders said, "Brother Justin," he says, "if you don't come apart, you'll come apart." And I said, "That's so true. That's so true." He always had these words of wisdom he would share. And you see, Jesus, the God-man, felt what we feel, and he knew that if he didn't come apart, he would come apart. Not fumble the Father's plan, but he knew he had to have time with his Heavenly Father. And tonight, if we don't come apart, we'll come apart. We may think that we are supermen and superwomen, and perhaps maybe some of you are, but everybody has that place they get to when they hit that wall. Excuse me. They get to when they hit that wall and they can't go any further, and that's the place you don't want to get to. You want to have that time of refreshment. You want to be revived so you don't hit a wall. And so we see that there were several times in the life of Jesus, from 30 to 33, where there was intimacy, private times Jesus had with the Father. We see the people that was involved in his life. That was John the Baptist and then Mary. And so we see the administration part, the serving part, from the age 30 to 33. And of course, during this time, miracles were happening. Things were being done. History was being changed. Jesus was healing. Jesus was casting out demons. Jesus was causing the lame to rise and raising the dead. And so the script was really flipped from the first stage to the second stage. Number three tonight, we see not only the preparation period, the administration period, but we see the glorification period. Or I would say the sacrificial period. Now, of course, this period was the days leading up to the cross. We see the sacrificial or the glorification period. Number one, there was compliance during this time. So Jesus was born and he grew up. 30 to 33 was his ministry. And again, all of these things happened. People loved him. He loved people. And now it was getting close to the time of going to the cross. And there was compliance. Matthew 26. Go ahead and just turn to Matthew 26 tonight for just a moment. Matthew 26 in verse 39. We know that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took the inner circle with him, Peter, James, and John. And he went apart to pray, and he turned back to check on the guys, as it were, and we know that they were asleep. And so, in verse number 39, the Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." So Jesus felt the pressure of the cup. The cup being symbolic to just a cup of pain, a cup of pressure, knowing what your mission was to die for the sinners and the sin of the world. He felt that, and he wrestled. He wrestled within the flesh. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." All of us wrestle in the flesh. All of us battle with this flesh that we have, this house of clay that we live in. We all battle. We all wrestle. But there comes a point somewhere in the process where we surrender and we say, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And so we see that there was compliance during the glorification period, the sacrificial period, as he was getting closer to dying on the cross. Not only there was compliance, but there was completion. John 19:30, I'll just give it to you. We know that Jesus did die upon the cross, but before he did, he said three words, Does anybody know what those words were? It is finished. It is finished. You know, there are three "it is finished" statements in the Bible. In the very beginning, God, when He completed His creational work, it is finished. Of course, the "it is finished" here. And then one day when there's a new heaven and a new earth, it'll be finished. One is yet future. And so we see here that there was the "it is finished" statement. You've seen my ups and downs back behind the pulpit. I'm not a quitter, so I'll just continue preaching. And we see that there was completion. John 19:30. It is finished. Lastly, we're in the book of Luke. We're in Matthew, actually. Turn back to Luke 24, verse 34. I'll get this last one out and I'm done. Luke 24, verse 34 says this. He says, "Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And so this is the glorification period. There was a conquering. The Lord Jesus finished the Father's plan. He was buried, and on that third day He rose again. And what a wonderful day that was. Because He got up, one day we will, Brother Harold, if we go by the way of the grave. Tonight I'm praying for the rapture. Praying the Lord will come in the cloud. That's right, brother. So tonight, the glorification period, there was a conquering, there was a completion, there was compliance. The administration period had to do with the people involved in His life. His private times He had with God the Father. And then this morning, the preparation period had to do with God's providence and had to do with the progression He had in life. That's the message tonight, from the cradle to the cross. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for all things. I pray tonight that, Lord, that we would allow Your word to just permeate. And although I have been distracted, I pray that the people weren't distracted and that maybe something was said that would be a help. I pray that You would move during the time of invitation, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.